Up, oh, she couldn't hear me. I had my stupid microphone turned off. How long has it been off the whole time? Yeesh. Sorry about that. Interesting stuff. I was kind of teasing when I thought I was on the air, which is my fault, that we're finally able to get that word in. Michael long ago took this song and kind of edited that one word out, but it's the most important word in the song. Welcome to the Edge of Darkness. Jeff Bennett here on this fourth day of April. Boy, I'll tell you what, it has been one insane weekend. I am still having nightmares with websites, two of them in particular. I post things, but they're showing up on my Firefox, but they're not showing up on this thing and that thing, and people aren't getting stuff. And I, interesting enough, within the last half an hour, got a very interesting note from one of my Skype friends and a listener to the daily program that may have provided us some answers. And now I will be providing that with my web host tomorrow, and let's see what we can do. What's been interesting is this inability to post things on our websites. Metropolis.cafe is doing fine. I've not published anything new on Kelly for over a week because I'm concerned about whether things will in fact post. Federal Observer has become an absolute nightmare. We cannot seem to post a damn thing. And something has gone haywire. They don't understand it. And I think I may have some answers. We're going to try to get to the bottom of it. Sierra Madre Precious Metals, we've got some things posted, and boy, it has been a crazy weekend with some of the headlines we're looking at. One of them says, economics expert issues a dire warning on serious threat faced by U.S. dollar. It is inevitable, he says. Since World War II, the U.S. dollar has been the world's strongest currency, but one economic expert warns it could soon lose its power. And I think that's what we're seeing. It's not only a serious threat, he says, I think it's inevitable. We went through these stages, as you said, after World War II. The U.S. was the biggest economy in the world. In the 70s, global banking became basically dollar central. And with the fall of the Soviet Union, the entire world, more or less, came under the domination of the U.S. dollar. But that is now drifting away, according to John Carney. China and Russia are beginning to build an alternative block of currency. But there's other countries that are already doing the same thing. I can't remember who, but I believe Brazil was one, and one other country last week announced that they're making major, major changes. There are two videos that we posted on Sierra Madre Precious Metals over the weekend, one of which we're going to share with you about a 9.5 minute, almost 10 minute segment here in a few minutes. The other one is a video entitled The End of the U.S. Dollar, What You Must Know. My biggest problems with videos of this type is typically they'll always get into a hawking mode. They begin to sell something as an alternative, not necessarily gold and silver. God knows what the hell it is. But it's I don't waste my time listening to it all because it's just pure nonsense. Some of the other headlines, FDIC chair says biggest deposit accounts at SVB held $13 billion. When they were a spiral earlier this late last month, the FTC, Treasury Department, Federal Reserve rushed in to backstop the financial system and make all depositors at the California bank whole, including those with accounts over $250,000. That's the total amount typically covered by FDIC insurance. But the bailout really did protect the billionaires from taking a modest haircut. Oh, no. Oh, they got protected all the way. Another headline. Depositors drain another $126 billion from U.S. banks during the week ending March 22nd. That according to a new Federal Reserve data report. And that time the outflow came from the nation's largest institutions. Is any of this ending? Most U.S. banks are technically, they're near insolvency. Hundreds are already fully insolvent. Bank sector stress makes a stagflationary debt crisis more likely, potentially more severe. Duration risk hammered Silicon Valley Bank seemed to have been lost on many bankers, fixed income investors, bank regulators. January 2022, when the yields on U.S. 10-year Treasury bonds 3.471% were still roughly 1%, and those on the German Bunds were minus 0.5%. It was warned then that inflation would be bad for both stocks and bonds. And so now, let us approach the video entitled, In Less Than 24 Hours, the U.S. Dollar Changes Forever. Listen to this carefully. I'll be back in 9.5, 10 minutes. Julie, be my guest. Rock and roll.
You'll be able to tell your kids about how the U.S. dollar was once the strongest currency in the world, and you were there to watch it fall into ruin. You'll be able to explain to your kids that it was all self-inflicted, how arrogance, greed, and bullying led to the collapse. We'll get to that part of the story in a minute. But first, you'll also be able to tell your kids that you were there when they took away paper dollars and coins in favor of a U.S. digital currency. And you'll be correct, because in fewer than 24 hours, the United States dollar changes forever. Tomorrow, the first week of April, the Federal Reserve begins the rollout of their new central bank digital U.S. dollar. That's right. It's called the FedNow program, and it's going to replace your paper currency. Not overnight, but it's moving in that direction. And it will move the United States to a cashless society, a surveillance state where every transaction will be tracked and cataloged, where, as the Fed describes it, money that's in your account can even expire and become unusable. That's right, just like that Red Lobster gift card that you never used. One day you go and try to buy some popcorn shrimp and some Cheddar Bay biscuits, and the gift card doesn't even work anymore. Gone. You can read how the Fed plans to use the expiring money right on the Fed's website. China's already doing it. We already have a template for it. And many U.S. government museums, national parks, historical sites are no longer accepting paper dollars. Many of you have emailed me about this. You've tried to go and actually use dollars at different locations? Sorry, we don't accept cash. Want to go visit the Wright Brothers Museum? Don't bring cash. You'll have to use digital currency. Want to go to Smithsonian? Sorry, no cash. How about Mount Rainier National Park? Sorry, no cash allowed. We only accept digital. And many American businesses have already gone cashless as well. They'll pretend it's all about convenience, but really, you know, it's all about control. The brilliant Catherine Austin Fitz recently described what going cashless would do to all of us.
The reality, as the financial system gets more controlling and more invasive, it's a little bit like bringing up a corral around us. And CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, and vaccine passports or digital IDs are sort of the last shutting of the gate. It's hard for many people to imagine the risks here because we're so used to living with financial transaction freedom, and we don't understand that when this gate closes on us, we literally will be sitting in a system where the central banks believe that our assets belong to them, and they can dictate where we can spend money and what we can spend money on.
It's frightening, and she's 100% correct. But that's only part of the story, and perhaps that's the smallest part of the story, if you can believe that. Now to the elephant in the room and the larger reasons we're seeing the decline of the U.S. dollar. But first, I decided to go sophisticated for today's video. I could have kept it super simple, but instead we need to talk about some specific details, and you are a very smart audience that will watch this video until the end. So we're going to go sophisticated today, okay? Let's do it. And for that, let me tell you a story. Let me start here. Back in 2014, the country of Russia annexed the territory of Crimea. We're not going to get into why they did it. You're a smart audience. You probably already know why they did it. But what we're going to do is look at what happened next. Now, the United States and Western allies then slapped massive sanctions on Russia. Then the value of the Russian ruble went down. But then something remarkable started to happen. And this is perhaps the beginning of the end of the U.S. dollar. You can pinpoint the moment. Here's what happened. As the ruble started to decline, Russia was then forced to ramp up production of just about everything that they produce, from oil to lithium to silver to uranium, for nuclear fuel, natural gas. They kicked everything into high gear, became self-sufficient, became the dominant exporter of many of these minerals in every category. Want uranium for your nuclear reactors? You're probably going to be buying it from Russia. In fact, the United States currently buys almost all of its uranium from Russia. Isn't that funny? They did this because their ruble was going down. They needed to produce more oil in order to sell more oil to compensate for the lower prices that it was receiving in U.S. dollars, while the United States was destroying its own manufacturing base under President Obama.
For those folks who've lost their job right now because a plant went down to Mexico, you know, that isn't going to make you feel better.
Russia and China were doing the exact opposite. But all this oil production ended up putting enormous pressure on the global oil market, because now there was a lot of oil being produced. That led to lower prices in oil. And guess what? A decline in the demand for U.S. dollars. They were making too much oil. And the petrodollar value plummeted. So U.S. sanctions on Russia drove down oil prices and therefore demand for U.S. dollars. Then came the war in Ukraine. And even more ridiculous sanctions. This time, they threw everything they had, the kitchen sink, at Russia.
And I'm taking robust action to make sure the pain of our sanctions is targeted at Russian economy.
The sanctions have crushed trade between Russia and the United States and its allies. This has further led to lower economic growth and a decline in the value of the U.S. dollar. And the Fed forecasting negative GDP growth in the United States with a massive recession about to hit our shores. But in Russia, the opposite happened. The IMF is forecasting GDP growth in Russia, and the value of the Russian ruble has hit record highs. And then this week, the bomb dropped against the U.S. dollar.
Describing their talks, Putin said, "We are in favor of using the Chinese yuan for settlements between Russia and the countries of Asia, Africa, and Latin America." So, the world's second largest economy and its largest energy exporter are together actively trying to dent the dollar's dominance as the anchor of the international financial system.
The petrodollar system was established in the early 1970s when the United States made a deal with Saudi Arabia to price oil in U.S. dollars. This agreement made it necessary for other countries to hold large amounts of U.S. dollars in order to purchase oil from OPEC countries, which then, of course, helped support the demand for the dollar. It made the world's dominant currency. It let America browbeat the rest of the world. It let America go into massive debt because there would always be another country around to buy up the U.S. debt.
The dollar is America's last surviving superpower. It gives Washington unrivaled economic and political muscle. It can slap sanctions on countries unilaterally, which frees that country out of large parts of the world economy. And Washington can spend freely, certain that its debt will be bought up by the rest of the world.
Well, that's all changing right before our eyes. The United States has been using its control over the dollar to weaponize its economic power, using sanctions and other measures to pressure other countries to comply with its foreign policy goals. The sanctions show just how desperate the United States is to try to replace dependence on Russia and China for all of our minerals and manufacturing. We are sitting on mountains of uranium, lithium, gold, oil, and yet We don't have the infrastructure to pull it out of the ground anymore. We only have one active lithium mine in the United States, and we're about to double the amount of electric cars driving on American roads. The Biden administration is throwing billions of dollars at companies to build charging stations, solar panel parking lots, you name it. Anything in the renewable space is getting massive billions of dollars in government grants. And that's because millions more EVs are coming out, but we have to rely on China and Russia to make it happen. It's crazy. Yesterday, the head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, admitted the truth about our reliance on China and Russia for minerals and resources. It was actually a pretty big admission moment for her.
We know this is an era where we rely on one single supplier, China. 98% of our rare earth supply, 93% of our magnesium, 97% of our lithium, just to name a few.
And literally on the same day that she made that statement, Ford Motor Company admitted that it's spending billions and teaming up with China to mine minerals for its electric cars. They're going to do this in Indonesia. Yeah, that's right. This is how bad it's gotten that Ford is teaming up with China. Here's Ford yesterday talking about this.
Not just the mining, but the processing the materials. Actually, even if they're mined, let's say in the U.S., nickel, most of it is sent back to China to get processed.
So the U.S. is trying to move away from Russia and China and bring manufacturing back to the United States, trying to incentivize businesses to go green with billions of dollars in grants and tax cuts. If you're building a new condo complex in the United States, the government will pay you to install electric vehicle charging stations. Hotels, the same thing. So, of course, all of these businesses are taking free money and building these things for the tax breaks. They'd be stupid not to. The United States is facing the perfect storm for the U.S. dollar. China, Russia, Saudi Arabia ditching the U.S. dollar to settle oil transactions. On top of that, America has outsourced its manufacturing, its minerals production overseas. And the Federal Reserve moving to a digital version of the U.S. dollar that can be expanded and printed at any moment because it's not tied to any physical representation of money. No coins, no dollars. So I'm going to be watching this slow death of the dollar unfold right here on this channel. So that's the news update part.
Oh, goody, goody. The news update. Doesn't this make you feel so damn good? Oh, Lord. U.S. money supply falling at the fastest rate. That's another different story. This is what we're dealing with. I cannot even emphasize enough what I have gone through the last couple of weeks. Callers, people who are wanting to acquire alternative means of monetary stuff in the pocket, gold, silver, etc., etc. I don't mean to offend. I mean, I get some people who call who can afford to buy one or two rolls of silver. That's okay. I get some people who call who can't even afford to do that. I generally suggest they go to different locations where they can do some things within their own communities because it's very difficult for me to. I'm not going to sit in the car and run all over town trying to pick up what I need to pick up to come back here, package it, and ship it out for, you know, a couple hundred bucks. I can't do it. There's way too much going on here. I've spent a considerable amount of time with a client of mine over the last week and put together a phenomenal package for her today. And heard from an old client over the weekend that we put together a package for he and his wife today. These are not quickie little sales. It's trying to find out what it is we're trying to do. It's trying to get together with a series of suppliers to see what we've got access to. And then I got a real nice surprise from one of my suppliers. We're going to talk about it a little bit later tonight. But we're facing the fact that our monetary supply is falling at its fastest rate since the 1930s. And that is a red flag for the economy and the financial markets. Money supply has now been shrinking year on year since December, an unprecedented development in modern times. It should make investors sit up, take notice. Growth, asset prices, inflation is all weakening, largely a consequence of the reversal of the liquidity generated by massive post-pandemic fiscal and monetary stimulus. The Federal Reserve shrinking its balance sheet via quantitative tightening, falling bank deposits, weak demand for and provision of credit. And yet all else equal, it's also a sign the Fed has no need to raise interest rates further. But they keep saying it, but they keep doing it. Given the lag of 1 or 2 years between money supply changes and the impact on asset prices and inflation, all of this could be a sign that the U.S. Central Bank should be cutting rates. The Fed data recently showed that M2 money supply, a benchmark measure of how much cash and cash-like assets is circulating in the U.S. economy, fell a non-seasonally adjusted 2.2% to only $21.099 trillion in February from the same period a year earlier. In seasonally adjusted terms, M2 money supply fell 2.4% from the same month last year to $21.063 trillion. But you see, all of that was before the March failures of Silicon Valley and Signature Banks, both in the top 25 banks in the country, all of which fanned fears of a credit crunch. It all stoked market volatility, prompted temporary emergency liquidity measures, backstops from the Fed worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And I hate to say it, what's happened with Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank and some of the rest has made my phones ring. People are very concerned. Matt King, guy over at Citibank in London, he was an expert in capital flows and liquidity, says that if money supply growth can reasonably be seen to expand liquidity and fuel inflationary pressures, then the opposite should not be true. What the heck is this? What is this nonsense popping up on my phone? Bing? Who the hell is Bing? I just got 3 notifications, I think, on Skype. I don't know where it's coming from. It's absolutely insanity what's going on in my computer. I'm not liking this. Well, you know, there's an old song out there called Money. That's what I want. M2. What is M2? M2 is something that measures the nation's overall stash of cash and coins and bills and bank deposits and money market funds. All of it's basically the broadest measure of cash and cash-like liquid assets. Money growth started slowing in early 2021 as the base effects from the fiscal and monetary splurge to tackle the coronavirus pandemic kicked in. The trend accelerated as the Fed's QT program picked up. M2 contracted in December for the first time since the 1940s. But shrinking money supply is rare, my friends, but has been buried this year in the blizzard of market volatility around the Fed's aggressive interest rate hikes. And more recently, the banking shock that has rocked rates and bond markets and the central bank's expectations. And more broadly, money supply has been out of policy-making fashion for the best part of 30 years since the central banks began using interest rates as the primary tool to achieve their consumer price inflation targets, usually around 2%. But then you see we had a mix of factors in the 1980s and 90s. We had falling inflation, financial deregulation. We had the financialization of economies. We help loosen the link between money targeting and GDP growth. Money supply was considered a less reliable basis for policy making. But as the old saying, you never give me your money, honey. And so the post-COVID stimulus surge and the Fed's equally dramatic push to tighten policy, mainly via supercharged rate hikes, but also QT, All of this has had a profound effect on banks' customer deposits and reserve balances and general liquidity in the system. And the banking sector shock intensified some of these trends. By some measures, retail deposit outflows from U.S. banks have been the biggest on record. Outflows from banks, particularly from the smaller and the regional banks. And yet estimates vary, but hundreds of billions of dollars have fled these institutions. And if deposits fall, banks must reduce lending to match their assets and liabilities. So the impact on M2 money supply is less clear-cut. Do you think these banks are going to reduce their lending to match their assets? Some of these banks hadn't done it. That has caused some of their problems. Just remember, net money, my friends, is being extinguished. Money metrics send signals about what is happening in the economy. If money and inflation are falling at this pace, the Fed should be long over and done with raising rates. But are these things the real problems? Is it everything? I don't think so. Let's take a look and see what's going on here. Do a quick update. You suckers! What's going on here? All right, so you're going to be closed on Friday, April the 7th. Oh, Good Friday. Well, let's see. The market's been real interesting today. Sometime yesterday, I was working with somebody. Let's see if I got my numbers here. Hold on. I know I've got them. Yep. I was talking to a client in Texas yesterday afternoon. Gold was sitting at $1,988.67 an ounce. $1,988.67. As we sit here right now, tonight, we're at $2,025.33 an ounce. Big jump. Silver yesterday was $2,403. It currently sits at $2,506. It's moving. And with it, the cost of product is moving up right along with it. There's not much we can do. And yet there are people who are trying to do something for themselves. Platinum, which is not one of my favorite metals, platinum is up darn close to $100 in the last week, an ounce. For those of you who did acquire platinum from me a year and a half ago, you got to be happy campers tonight. But in many respects, we're unhappy campers because we understand exactly what it's all about. What's causing all of this? It's nuts. It's absolutely insane what's going on. I think a week or so ago, maybe not, I began to share with you a piece, which is kind of brief, which I'm going to share with you. This is why investors need to own gold in this banking crisis. Amongst the reasons, there's always more than one cockroach in the kitchen. Gold market at the time of its writing would remain well supported, should eventually see a sustained break above 2,000 an ounce as the biggest banking crisis since the '08 great financial crisis is far from over. That, at least according to one astute economist. In an interview with Kitco News, David Rosenberg, founder of Rosenberg Research, said that gold and bonds remain two of his top investments for 2023 as the banking crisis threatens to push the global economy into a recession. Now, Rosenberg's been bullish on gold since December after publishing his 2023 Outlook report. But see, I don't care about that because David Rosenberg is like most guys with newsletters, et cetera, strictly looks at gold ownership and silver and platinum ownership in the same mentality that Wall Street does. you buy it, you sit back, you wait for it, you sell out, you make a bunch of shekels. Guess what? It don't work that simple. As a matter of fact, I talked to a client about this today, and I'm overdue. I've got to re-up my Ford pickup truck ad and stick it up on the website. Given the fact that gold's now over $2,025 an ounce, you try to go out and try to buy that new pickup truck today and see how many ounces of gold you still have remaining, still showing a high-end value in its pocket. It's not spot gold. It's not what gold or silver sell for, what they trade for, whatever. It's what they will buy for you, what they will put on your table, what they will pay the insurance on your house. They'll pay for the mortgage payments if necessary. Those are the reasons to own those things. Not because you're going to make a big fat profit, but because why everyone else is losing their assets. You've got something to fall back on. You've got something that's going to feed you and clothe you, etc., etc., etc. Now, Rosenberg's comments recently came as gold prices, while remaining elevated above $1,900 an ounce, had fallen from the previous week's highs of around $2,000 an ounce. And today, we're quite comfortably above $2,000 an ounce. Rosenberg said it was only a matter of time before gold prices pushed higher as the inverted yield curve highlighted the 90% chance that the economy falls into a recession this year. Darcy then added a new banking crisis could be what pushes the economy over the edge. A new one? What we've been facing over the last few weeks is more than just a new one. This has become somewhat of an explosion. They're doing all they can to shut this thing up. They're getting people to take over, to buy them out. One of my suppliers had been with Silicon Valley Bank for a long time. And when all this nonsense happened, he had to pull his money out, and he was fortunate to get it all out. He went and opened up an account with Wells Fargo. Now, I wired him some funds on a couple of purchases that we did. And I had to double verify some things with him today, and he sends me back a note and tells me to wire it to SVB. I said, wait a minute, I thought you closed that down and went with Wells Fargo. He said, well, I did. But Wells Fargo is being difficult. I said, I'm going to tell you why, Robert. I went through some similar situations over a period of a number of years with some attempted fraud committed on my corporate bank account. My daughter had found my checkbook and grabbed a handful of checks, and every so often she would try to cash one for $200 or $300. A couple she tried to cash for $700-$800. I received some phone calls. Well, some of them I realized they were missing, got a hold of my bank and put a stop payment on them instantly. Others, she would go into some places and try to cash them, and they would call me and verify the legitimacy. And of course, I put a stop onto it. Now, my bank, who happens to be Wells Fargo, was doing all they can to get me to shut my existing account down and change it to a new account. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, why not? I said, because I know the way the banking system operates. The minute that I get a new account, you're not going to give one damn about what my history has been with you. I'm going to be treated as a brand new customer. Now, my branch had a marvelous gal who was the manager. Everybody over there knows me. They know the caliber of the kind of deposits we make. We've never had a check bounce. We get large wires. We get large checks, blah, 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 blah. She left to take over another branch. The gal they hired was the dumbest cluck I had ever met in my life. I got a check from one of our clients for about $4,000 or $5,000. And she said, well, we've checked on this, and he's never cashed a check. with you from that particular bank. So we're going to put a hold on it for 2 weeks. I picked up the phone and got a hold of my former manager over at the other new branch she was at. She became livid and put a call in and got some things straightened out. Even the other people that worked at the branch that knew me knew this was crapola. This is just a new banker that didn't know her from a hole in the ground. As a matter of fact, she'd never been a banker before anyway. She'd done some other interesting things. So, you know, consider some things in the mannerisms of gold. Why investors need to own gold in this banking crisis. The interesting thing is about this entire column, which is posted on Sierra Madre Precious Metals, is we spend too much time talking about Rosenberg. And there's not talking enough about gold and the reasons. Although he did say, I don't know if I want to call it a crisis, but we're heading into a new chapter in the credit cycle, moving from a positive credit expansion to a negative credit expansion. This is going to reinforce the recession that was already in play. But he still really beats around the bush. He doesn't spend that much time talking about the reasons for owning gold and silver. As a matter of fact, I don't think the guy who wrote the article paid that much attention to it. All he wants to do is listen to Rosenberg. If the Fed's going to cut rates in the second half of the year, what do you want to be? You want to own some gold. You want to own some bonds. Real interest rates will be coming down. The U.S. dollar is going down, which is why gold has been performing so well. This guy wouldn't know his from a hole in the ground. Oy vey, Mr. Rosenberg. Have I offended you now, folks? Good. I'm sure has made a few of you smile. Whatever. Anyway, so that's kind of that what this routine is all about, and it's just amazingly frustrating. Well, we've been dealing with some interesting issues over the past couple of months. Supply and demand. This has been going on and off now for a good 2.5 years. Economically speaking, pandemic speaking, we have had such a radical run on people trying to buy gold and silver specifically that we find that there's not enough raw gold supply being mined because they kept holding its value down. Maybe they were mining it, but they weren't making it available until they can kind of push its value back up and they can get more money from the raw stuff. Because there's the people out there that mint gold bars, who mint gold and silver coins or breakable bars or whatever the case may happen to be. All these things made things difficult. I remember May of 2 years ago, this horrible, horrible shortage we had in being able to get silver coinage. Now it's repeating itself. I can come up with some rounds occasionally. The price is beginning to escalate. I'm in the very low $30 range. But I remember a couple of years ago, there was a time that some of those things got up in the mid-$40 range. You think that's not coming again? Because it is. When? I don't know. It's not necessarily because spot moves that much. It's because the people are waking up and they're picking up the phone and they're getting a hold of people they've either been referred to. And they're wanting to buy stuff. I talked to one of my local suppliers today. He's got stuff that's due to arrive in 4 or 5 more days. Now, what happens if everything he's got coming in is sold before it gets there? Then they've got nothing else to sell except taking orders on their next go-around. And maybe it'll take 6 more weeks to get the product next time, or 8 more weeks. It's profound, my friends. Unbelievably profound. So, I've had more and more people who have been interested in purchasing smaller size pieces of gold and or silver. Silver becomes a problem. There's only one place I know of that we can buy 1/10 or 1/4 ounce silver pieces. I'm not talking about old junk silver. I'm talking about a newly minted 1/10 ounce pure silver coins or bullion representations, the same with a 1/4, a 1/2. But as many years as I did business with them, all of a sudden one day they got greedy and said, well, you know, we want to know, well, what's your website and what do you sell and how much do you do a year? What do you care? You never had to come after me for money. Oh, I see why. Because everything they mint has their name on it. And when they ship a product to my client for me, what they want to do is they want that client to come back and buy directly from them, not through me. Because they'll make more profit with it. That was the game. So we don't play the game with them anymore. And I just refuse to fill out their paperwork and play that stupid game. But I still get this issue, something I've not been able to deliver on for a long time. Small, barterable, tradable, recognizable gold pieces. I've shared with you over the years that when I was 12 years of age, I bought my first two gold pieces. They were German 20 mark pieces. Just under 1/4 ounce of gold content in them. Over the years, I learned about the Swiss, the French, the Italian, the Greek, the Belgians. All nations who minted coins of the exact same size and weight and purity of all those other countries I mentioned. You could go into Switzerland and spend a Belgian gold piece. You got equal value. You could go from Greece and go into France, spend a Greek piece, and get equal value as if it were a French piece. And that was the way things were back there. It was brilliant. I have owned, I have sold Russian gold pieces. I've certainly, many of you know that I've done much from South America, Uruguay, Brazil, Mexico, etc., etc., etc. And it's been interesting how many of these things that I've been very happy to see pass through my hands in so many respects. And yet it's all dried up. My main supplier, who normally was a marvelous place to go to for Swiss 20 franc pieces, French 20 franc, whether they be angels or whatever the case may be, go to the Swiss and get the Helvetica's. Probably the singular most recognizable fractional gold coins in the world have always been the British gold sovereign. Now, I'm not talking about the one with King Charles on it, the kid that's in there now. He isn't going to last long because I just don't have any respect for him anyway. But that's a different story. When I start talking about British sovereigns, we talk about Queen Victoria. My goodness, Queen Elizabeth finally was the first person to outlast Victoria. Victoria was the longest serving queen in history, to the best of my knowledge. King Edward, King George. These are the kind of pieces we find in the British sovereign mentality. But keep in mind that the British also minted their gold coins in Canada, in the Falklands, in Australia, in South Africa, or not Africa, but down in African kingdoms. Obviously, Great Britain. There was not a corner of the world that Britain did not have their fingers in the pot. The sun never sets on the British Empire, and because of that, the British sovereigns are still the most recognizable international foreign gold coins ever minted, period. So having said all that, I've been very fortunate today. We've come across a quite a sizable collection of them for sale. One of my suppliers, who's not my biggest, but as of right now, he's becoming amongst the most reliable as far as our ability to get what's necessary. He's got Queen Victoria's, the Veiled Heads, King Edward VIII, who served from 1902 to 1910. Queen Victoria, by the way, served from 1893 to 1901. King George came along. He was not there a very long time, 1911 and 1932. So about a 20-year time period. King Edward was only in for about 8 years. But all of these are still amongst the best buys in the international gold market. Once again, keep in mind, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Most of the coins that we've been able to acquire are going to grade, if they were to be graded, in the extra fine to about uncirculated condition. One of the things I find fascinating about sovereigns, as I mentioned moments ago, they're recognized worldwide. They've been used as emergency money for decades. After World War II, pilots carried British gold sovereigns in their survival kits. Even in our warm desert storm, American pilots carried these historic gold coins as their emergency money in case they were downed in Iraqi territory. Clearly, my friends, genuine British sovereigns are private, they're profitable, they have instant liquidity worldwide. Now, depending on the inventory of our supplier, what we're offering tonight may include a mix of British sovereigns. Maybe some of the Queen Victorias are going to be offered with for a substantial discount for our listeners in a couple of different configurations. It's also possible that your shipment may be inclusive of only one of the rulers of Great Britain. In other words, you may get all King Edward or King George or Queen Victoria. Probably not with Queen Victoria. Her stuff is a little bit more worn. But I do promise there'll be no King Charles. We're talking older coins, coins that were minted from the 1930s and before. Now, here's a couple of interesting ways that you can purchase British sovereigns from Calamarine. Yes, I can get singles for you, but it's not going to be cheap because we're going to be looking at probably $540 a piece. If you bought one coin, it would cost you $540. You would also have a shipping cost of $30 for one coin, because this particular supplier only ships via FedEx. So, you know, if you're thinking about picking up the phone to call me to buy one or two coins, this may not be the smartest thing to do, but it's not a bad one. It's a good way to acquire pieces, one or two pieces at a time, three, four, five. But I can pull together a 12-piece pack, 12 pieces. Well, you're pushing about 3 ounces, $6,300. That's $525 per coin at the present price. But I will tell you, less than an hour before I went on the air tonight, I had to increase it $3. And that's included in the price I've given you. And the reason for that increase is my supplier had to increase. He's having an increase in his cost across the board. But I will say we may have additional discounts available with purchases of 40 or 50 units or greater, which that's a full roll mechanism, depending on which roll we typically, there's usually 40 in a roll. And glad to do it. And my good friend Uncle Jerry bought some yesterday, and I'm sure he's glad he did, because the price is going up today. Big time. Big time. Yeah. Gold had a major move. So each of these shipments will be subject to a $30 shipping and handling fee. It's shipping. It's all for FedEx costs. I'm not turning around hitting you with a fee for doing bank wires, because I've got to bank wire the money to my supplier. That cost me $30. Cost him $15 to get it on the other end, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I don't, unless you're doing a sizable transaction, I don't want you bank wiring the money. But you got to be prepared to get the funds out to me pretty damn quick. And you got some questions about it, you know, go to Sierra Madre Precious Metals. You can go to, what the hell do I call this damn thing? The treasure chest? I've lost track. That's what kind of a day I'm having. Do you have those kind of days, do you? Huh? What the heck? Oy vey. Let me get back. Let's go back to home here for a second. Yeah, go to the Sierra Madre treasure chest, and you'll see the complete spell out. You'll see images of these various different gold coins. You'll see a single image of about 6 different variations. One of them is the backside of the coin, which is the George the Dragon Slayer, I think is who he was. And it's going to be interesting. Take advantage, 602-799-8214, 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. You will see that email address at the bottom or near the bottom of the treasure chest page. Just click on it. It'll connect you up. If you happen to be in the main page, just scroll all the way down near the right-hand column. Spells it out. Kettle Moraine, LTD, P.O. Box, blah, 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 blah. A phone number. Oh, and an email. KettleMoraineLTD@cox.net. That's how you can reach me. If you're on a cell phone, drives me crazy, but unfortunately, we're all living on it anymore. You can reach me via cell phone, 602-799-8214. Leave a message. Please do. We finally got our voicemail functioning again after God knows how long. So you can leave a voicemail there. Let me know what you're interested in. I'll get back with you as soon as I'm able to do so. These are, my friends, crazy, crazy times. I think that most of you know I rarely will spend the amount of time doing a commercial presentation, as it were, as relates to what we've done here tonight. I don't generally get involved with all of that. I find it far more important to concentrate on the news, on that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to choose for a title of tonight's program. I like it. Why not? There's always more than one cockroach in the kitchen. Oh, good Lord. Where did you send me a note, Julie? Did you just send me a note? If so, why did it come up on top there? This is crazy. Something is going, I don't know who's sending me all this stuff. It's really weird. Oh, well. Anyway, here's the title. You can do that. I expect to be back with you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday, I think. Lord only knows. Thanks for being with us tonight. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night. Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses, the rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure
If we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. To what she can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take all my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to woe, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you...